Hello and welcome to Shoes Off, No Cap, the podcast about all things dance. Today's guest is a prolific mainstay in our scene, Shahrul Riza, or more affectionately known as Shiriz. Shiriz is a real gem. He started his career in dance in the early 2010s when he was still an engineering student. After championing Astro Battleground in 2013, he has continued to win numerous other competitions and perform with some notable local artists like Joe Flizzo and Stacey. This episode focuses on how Shiriz found his calling as a dancer, his method when it comes to teaching classes, and some tips he's gained over his long dance career that anyone can apply. We hope you enjoy this episode. All right, everyone, welcome back to Shoes Off No Cap, the podcast for all things dance. Today, we have very special Abang today. So we've got Shahrul Riza, or you might know him more as Shiriz. So Shiriz, I've known Shiriz for quite a while now. Personally, only a few years, but actually I've been checking you out, your work, you know.
Checking him out.
I've seen you dance live for the first time at Experience Dance Showcase, the Experience Dance Workshop. I think that was in 2016 or 17. I can't really remember. Amazing, amazing dancer. So I hope that you all will enjoy this podcast today. All right. So Shiriz, can you tell us a bit about who you are and when did you start dancing?
As I said, my name is Shahrul Riza. So the Shiriz comes from the Shahrul and Riza. So the Shiriz. MySpace gave me that name. I don't know.
It's a cool name.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. You're a 90s kid. That's why you have MySpace.
MySpace, bro. Shit. I was like, what username should I use? And then it suggested was Shiriz. So I was like, we'll go with that. I'm a dancer in Malaysia. Actually, I've been dancing since I was a kid, but then professionally started dancing back in 2010. I'm a Johorian.
Johor Bahru. Nice. Okay.
Johor Bahru, Skudai.
Oh, Skudai side. Okay. I'm downtown side. Yeah.
And then after that, I studied civil engineering in UTM KL, Jalan Semara.
Civil.
Yeah. Jauh.
Nice.
Civil engineering with dancing.
I did mechanical, bro.
Oh shit. In UTM also?
No, not UTM. But yeah, engineering brothers, let's go.
I left that long time ago. And then after that I found dance and wanted macam kind of pulled me in. So I really wanna pursue my career in dance back then. So that got me started in the dance scene in Malaysia.
Wait, you started dancing after you did civil engineering, or was it during your university time that you discovered it?
It was during. I was actually looking for like friends that dance, and then found my tennis coach in UTM, nama dia Muzri. Mm-hmm. He was the one that introduced me to hip hop in aerobics. This was before Zumba term all came out lah. So last time everything was in aerobic, but then there's genres, and then he was the one that doing hip hop. He was doing it nationally, then he kind of brought me in. Now he's doing hip hop fitness like internationally now.
Wow.
Yeah. Pelik je aku ni. Start hip hop aerobic.
And this all happened when you were in UTM.
Yeah. This was second year in UTM.
You know, were you always interested in dance, or did you just like get introduced to this this coach and you just thought that, hey, I might just give it a try because it looks interesting?
I've been always interested in dance as a kid. Been following, you know, back then it was Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Michael Jackson. So I would always be in my room, you know, lock the doors and in front of like very slim mirror, kind of mimic their dance. Macam, like, you know, kids, you know. Trying to like, and then langgar katil apa semua. Kind of want to see where this takes me, this passion, where it's going to take me. So Muzri, my coach, because I was in the tennis team in UTM, and then at the same time, dia jaga unit sukan time tu, he also does aerobic. So it kind of links. Yeah, because time tu pun dia macam, kau minat tak buat aerobik? Macam, aerobik? Nah, makcik-makcik je buat kan. Lepas tu dia macam, no, I'm doing in hip-hop. So I was like, okay lah, I just give it a go. During that year also, Showdown first came out, it was 2010. It was the first Showdown. So I saw Showdown time tu dekat library UTM. It was on the television. So I watched it and I kind of follow it. I think it was Bujay's first show. It was a flash mob. Our section was called Funky Fresh Junior. Ke Floor Fever Junior time tu. But it was just a bunch of random people doing flash mobs. And then time tu slowly got introduced into the scene. Macam like, like a rabbit hole.
At time, how old were you?
2010, I was 20. I'm 32 this year.
Over 30, gang. Let's go.
wake up, didn't do anything. My knee starts pain. Sakit kan. The back lower back. I was like, I didn't do shit. Why?
Last time you could break your ankle and it would heal the next day, right?
fun fact. Back in 2012, I was introduced to bone breaking. It was a type of dance.
Oh my gosh.
And then I tried to do it. I couldn't.
Oh my god.
I could manage on my left shoulder though. It kind of popped out a little bit. And I was like, you know what? I don't know shit about this. I shouldn't be doing this in the long term.
I mean, the early 2010s had a lot of really interesting dance trends. We had, we had bone breaking, and then I don't know, quote unquote urban used to be called lyrical hip hop or something like that.
Or LA style
hip hop. Flash mobs were all the rage back then. Everybody wanted to do flash mobs. Mm-hmm. Every company wanted to employ dancers to do flash mobs. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And then like how the flash mob would be like, normally flash mob is like a surprise event, right?
Yeah.
But then like back then all the companies were like, oh, coming up is a flash mob dance.
The flash mob, yeah.
And they announced it. And I was like, no, you're missing the point. It's like, no. But then, flash mob was the thing back then,
right?
2011, 2012. I mean, Gangnam Style release, it kind of gave dancers all around the world jobs, man.
Never underestimate the power of Psy and Gangnam Style.
That is Psy.
When did you start meeting up with the people who would then become Inversion? Were you part of the founding members or did you just meet people from that group?
Okay, Inversion started in 2007. It was founded by Rico Lim and also Thomas Chi. Thomas Chi now is in Korea. Rico now is doing fitness. So back then, Inversion was a training team where people would just join Inversion, train, and then they would just go on their way. Kira macam they can join other teams. But then my dance career actually started off 2011 where I joined this solo dance competition in Klang Parade. Whoever joined, like back then I didn't know anyone, but most of them that joined that competition turns out to be Inversion crew members. But then after that, I was recruited by Eric Yap to join Astro Battleground 2011. So that time my team was called Fresh Hype. It was just the four of us. It was me, Eric, and then Kelvin Ng, and then Derek. I think it was Zongwei. Yeah, it was just the four of us. It was our first ever competition. I think it was big competition. And then I had a fallout during semifinals. It was a stressful competition back then. It's not like Battleground that you know now. Like back then, within that week, you need to prepare 3 routines, like one routine about 3-4 minutes. And then you have to prepare your battle routines. And then the 3 routines that you did, dia tak semestinya korang buat 3 ni. Let's say if you got you keluar on the first round, and then these 2 routine burn lah. Yeah, but then again, if you pass, then you have to like, everything needs to be in preparation within that 1 week.
1 week.
Gosh.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And then I remember because the semifinal was in Pavilion. Because we lost the battle. So macam dah tahu keluar kan. So I was at the side smoking my cigarette and I was like, shit, what the fuck do I do now? You know what I mean? That kind of vibe. And then I saw like a really chubby guy just walking very merrily towards me. It was Kevin Tan. So Kevin was like, hey, kau nak see Inversion tak? Okay, I see you in studio Monday. Then he walk off. And I was like, wait, what? Who? Why?
Literally, yeah. Was that the conversation at that time?
Yeah, that was legitly it.
Okay, jumpa you Monday nanti.
Yeah, because we train at the same studio. It was SS2, it was ECX studio. So Inversion was born there, and then Fresh Heart was there, ECX was there. So we started that. Mula-mula diorang nak train, and then diorang pun cakap lah, because Recall, initially he doesn't want Inversion to join. Dia macam dia nak join dengan team lain. And then I cakap lah, macam you already have a team, so might as well lah. So join. Time tu kita orang planning to join Showdown 2012. Yeah, so we started training. And as the years goes by pun macam new crew members masuk. After me it was K, and then Saf, and then Amir, and then the last two would be Farhi and Wahab. So the Inversion jadi Inversion lah.
If you just met a dancer who had no idea about who you are, how would you describe your style of dance?
I would say it's choreography based, but I don't want to say it's hip hop. I don't want to say it's popping or lyrical, because it differs song by song that I did. So I would just say it's choreography based. Whatever I feel at that time.
So I guess the main connecting factor from all of the choreography that you put out is that it's made by you. It's made by you. It's everything, all of your experiences and all of your knowledge, training.
Yeah, because back then during Battleground and Showdown, we are not just required to do a style of dancing. Kita orang macam every week kita orang akan diberi task to do. Like during Showdown 2013, second week kita orang diberi task to do whacking. None of us are whackers.
Oh my god. So,
how did you guys do it?
So at time two, the only girl group that we know was Soul Crazy, because it was Becky, Lydia, Hong Yan, Lady Seven, and then one more who I forgot. We pergi lah, kita consult Becky. Kita consult Becky, so Becky, how would you do? Because the song also diorang dah bagi. It's not our own song. It's the studio yang bagi. So tanya, minta pendapat teacher's basic whacking. So macam every genre that we learn kind of infuse lah. Kira kalau tak macam rugi kan, you dah learn that style. And then you tak implement in future choreographies ke apa. So macam it's an eye opener lah. If not, kalau tak buat style Brian Puspos saja sampai mampus kan. So tak jadi apa. Tak jadi apa nanti.
Brian Puspos pun dah tukar dah sikit style dia. He's like wordplay for days already now.
you see, I know Brian like long time ago. It was 2009 I discovered him. And then as you can see now from back then, and then now you can see how the style changed. I think that's
so different.
That goes for a lot of dancers here also. Your understanding back then and now is very different. Because back then macam you learn from Chris Oi, and then for a long time you only know that style. And then as you join competitions, you kind of learn more. Macam it forces you to learn more. And then if you compare like back then and now, memang lain lah. Because if you see me back then, it was just speed. It was just, it's just nothing. Macam there's no essence.
Yeah. Dude was really fast, you know.
It was fast.
I need to see these old videos.
It was ridiculous, bro. Now I look back, I cringe, bro, at my video. I was like, why? Why, bro? Calm down, bro. Calm down. I look back at my video. I was like, bro, calm down. Feel the music, bro. Groove.
Did you ever know at the time of starting dance that dance would be such a big part of your life?
True story, dance saved my life. Because I've decided to take this passion. I want to see where this passion takes me, right? So that means I have to forego whatever I learn. Because I came to KL so just to learn civil engineering, which I fucking hate. No idea why I took it in the first place. But then again, because you kind of put everything aside. So you start from zero. I have nowhere to stay. I have no allowance. Everything I start from zero. So macam tumpang rumah member, time tu pun rumah bujang. It was what, 7-8 people, one small house. Wow. And then I had to ration my food. True story, I kind of survived on cloud 9 for breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Oh my God.
So that was $1, RM1 a day. So 30 cent. And then started exposing myself. So time tu dah start with SS2 studios, and then dah start buat flash mob. Dah ada duit sikit, bolehlah up sikit aku punya meal jadi nasi bujang. Kalau macam ada extra sikit, oh boleh boleh tambah ayam goreng ni. Kira-kira. So I back then I don't even know how dance is going, but I really want it to work back then. Mm-hmm. It's a struggle at first, but it saved my life. So I kind of want to bring it forward.
At that time, you didn't think that civil engineering is an option, macam like to proceed with that career.
Macam hati you dah tutup lah dengan benda tu. Okay. Macam you, because I failed 2 semesters. No, actually I failed 1 semester tapi kena pull back 2 semesters because during the center semester tu macam dia tak offer that one subject. One bloody subject. So they push to another semester. So I had to like wait. So in between that, macam ada buat shooting iklan, when forecasting iklan DG, Flash Mob. Then time tu Inversion dah macam okay sikit. So banyak orang panggil buat dinner show. Kalau nak go back to civil engineering, all I now have is just a piece of paper. Tu je tulis. I got a diploma in civil. But you ask me macam okay, what does civil engineering apa buat kan? So aku macam no idea.
Do you sometimes look back at the times when you were struggling in with fond memories?
I always think that experience and mistakes are the best teachers. Because I've experienced that. And then I don't want me myself go through that again or other people in that sense. Yeah. So I try to macam educate them atau open doors for them. Memang aku fikir dulu macam macam mana aku boleh survive time tu. Yeah, actually that time also that's where I met my girlfriend lah. Dia pun macam dia jumpa I, lepas tu dia tengok dia macam kesian lah. Macam, oh my god, kau makan ni je, what the fuck. Lepas tu dia macam dia start bungkuskan makanan untuk aku.
That's when you knew that she was a keeper, right?
Yeah man, shit. Sweetheart. Sampai until today.
Wow. Wow. Berapa tahun
sah? Just celebrated our 10-year anniversary yesterday.
Oh. Wow. Congratulations, guys. Thanks, 10 man. Years.
I got something.
That is a big piece of work. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, fact.
Can you name a few of your most proud projects or achievements in dance?
I mean, I did Showdown 2013. I got first runner-up. Astro Battleground Champion.
Let's go.
2013. But then I would say my biggest achievement, it's not about choreography, music videos or stuff. In 2015, there was this BOTC, Battle of the Choreographers. It was a Singapore held event. And then you bring your own team. Then you go compete there with international judges. So you just present your piece. At that time, it was a tough year for me because my father passed away during the practice because I kind of had the vision of the whole piece in mind. And then my father passed away. So I kind of want to dedicate this routine to my dad. So I changed everything within the last 2 weeks prior to the competition. Because I was going to Singapore for stage rehearsal and then my dad was already in hospital and he never said this to me. He told me, good luck with your competition. So aku macam, wow, oh shit.
Wow.
Okay. So time to semangat lah, cross over Singapore kan. And then when I was in Singapore, I got a phone call, came back to KL, switched the routine. And then I did the piece dedicated to my dad. So the whole routine was about starting and then all the way I get a phone call and then I dedicate that piece for my dad. I think that was the biggest, proudest achievement for me.
Yes. Is there anywhere that we can watch this performance?
It's my hard disk though. I'm not going to upload
I mean, it comes from your heart, you know.
Because
so.
I'm going to cry. Because I remembered the team, it was Stephanie Farhi, it was Lingzi, Aaron Chow, Aaron Lee, Taro was in the team, and a few others that I would die for them because they did this for me. Because it's not like a show. It's not like aku ada banyak gila budget. Okay, I pay you $200 to do this show. Yeah. But like 3 months rehearsal, you know what I mean? So I don't have that kind of budget. So they did this out of their hearts to for me. And so macam, during the stage blocking, I had like this small interview backstage. And then my girlfriend went to the PA guy. So dia macam letak gambar my dad on screen. Because towards the end, I kind of face everybody back. And then sending my picture of my dad. So I just macam, oh fuck, wow, shit. Then I just, I went off stage, just breakdown, bro. I break down, yeah. I would bawl my eyes out. I was like, oh, the fuck, who did this? But time tu, that time macam tak fikir nak menang langsung lah. Just macam, I want to get this piece out. Dah habis tu macam kat luar tu macam, yeah. It's just a good thing to get this feeling out of my chest.
Thank you so much for sharing such a personal story. We really appreciate it. Some of the biggest lessons that you learned from your time with Inversion, because they're such a big part of your life, right?
Back then, we kind of think a crew is where just a bunch of people dance together. But then in Inversion, I learned that it's more than that. We kind of had each other's back. Macam tak semua orang senang kan. So macam if kalau I susah, and then Stephanie, my girlfriend, would help me out. And then kalau Fai susah, and I would help him out. You know, we would just have each other's backs. It's more than just a dance team like Inversion. Because kita orang punya tagline pun is, we change for the better. I don't know where does that come from, but because Inversion is means inverting whatever.
Yeah. Macam.
Also, kind of learned that susah, because not everyone has the same style of dance. So we work around it, we make it work. There's always a middle ground to for everyone to meet. So kita orang macam try explore what to do. Because time tu a lot of people macam compare us to Kinjas and Quest Crew. Because we do a lot of flips. Macam aku tak pernah, aku ni bukan jenis striker pun, aku kena belajar backflip, aku kena buat B-twist. We have to go to we have to go to BB Gym.
Oh my
practice.
God, BB Gym.
BB Gym, right? Legend, bro. And then once dah comfortable kat sana, then K, which is our tricking teacher, dia akan macam, okay, jom kita pergi Padang. Padang mana? Putrajaya. Okay, jom. Because the Padang there, the grass is like more comfortable, and then it kind of they absorb sikit kau punya bounciness tu kan. So we practice there, and then we put it in a routine, which is a totally different thing. And remember the first time I did backflip on a stage, my face and the floor like that.
Yeah, it's,
I was like,
scary.
Shit, oh my god, why did I do this? Why did I agree to this?
For listeners who are just listening in on the podcast without the video, he just like made, I don't know, just like 1 inch of separation between his face and the floor.
So close. It was so close. I mean, it's different because macam if you go to BB Gym, like, or like extreme park, like macam ada bouncy tu kan.
Yeah.
You can ask me, like, I could do like a run off back twist, run off backflip. But if to do it on a flat like surface, then macam, I don't know, just terkejut. And then Inversion macam K, Saf, Amir pun ada ajar agak. Because if you want to do flip, like, do not doubt yourself.
Yeah.
If you doubt yourself mid air, just a split second, like, then. Oh god.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the 1 inch from the floor from my face. You know?
Yeah, I get how you feel, man.
Sean can definitely relate, right? Sean does a lot of tricking and flipping as well.
Yeah, way too many times. The worst was on the road, lah. That was not a fun face plant.
Bro, on the tar road, it's just, it's a nightmare, dude.
It's a freaking nightmare.
To do flips.
The worst, the worst part wasn't the landing. The worst part was going home to my mom.
How am I going to explain this to her?
Yeah.
I punched the guy, mom. Punch back. That's what happens. Oh, man.
Man, you should have seen him. You know, he looks worse.
But yeah, dude. I think Tarut is just a nightmare. So, during that time in Inversion also, we kind of learned. Because that time, tak banyak teams yang buat macam like a full tricking routine. Kita orang macam learn how to incorporate that into the routine as well. To make it work lah. Because macam it's not just like one person just run in front then backflip then just run back, and you know. So it was fun exploring all that. with them.
When you talked about middle ground, right, because you guys have so many different dancers with so many different styles, you know, say that there are other teams as well who are struggling with this issue of like finding the common middle ground, you know, are there like any steps or like any methods that you guys use to properly be able to find that middle ground or compromise, you know, that halfway happy state?
Like how we did it is we don't go into the dancing straight away. We hang out first. We get to know each other first, get comfortable, get to know the person, like really get to know the person. You know, we'll just talk it out. And then only we can, you know, get comfortable in the studio. Because if not, nanti dia jadi macam tak sedap lah dalam studio, tapi kat luar okay. Atau terbalik kan. So, and then from there, I think it's a lot of experimentation. What works or what not. Because there was this time where it was me, Steph, Kevin and Kay. We joined a super dancer competition in Sungai Wang. There was this position where Kevin was like bending over, then Kay was on top. And then we want him to do a back twist. And then Kay cakap dia tak comfortable. Dia kata pun tak pernah dia try. Tapi dia jatuh. So we know it's not working. So through mistakes, through failing, we learn lah. Don't be afraid to fail, you know. Yeah. Macam so, dia kata kan, kalau gagal merancang, tu merancang untuk gagal. But it's true, it's true. Don't be afraid to fail.
Okay, so this section is all about teaching dance, you know, because we know, we understand that Shreyas is, I will call you an experienced teacher because you have taught longer than most people have, all right? You know, who's currently teaching right now. I'm just going to like flashback for a while, you know, like when you taught your first class at NYDS, or was it your second or third class? I can't really remember. I might be misquoting, but you said that you were the guy people would call to replace their classes. You know, I remember that until today. For some reason, I associate that sentence with you. You know, yeah, I am the guy who people call to replace their classes. Is that still true today?
Today, no lah. I mean, back then, a lot. I started teaching, it was after Astro Battleground. And then Justin from Devotion Dance Studio, he offered me, macam, hey, you want to open class? So I was like, okay lah. Started teaching in Devotion and then started teaching in Soul to Soul Dance Studio and also Freedom Dance Studio at that time. But then, because I don't have a syllabus like a lot of teachers do. How I learn dance is through... all the time is through workshops. I never took like like proper like a month or a course of dance classes. I learned only solely from workshop. So the way I teach also is like cara mengajar workshop lah. Previously I took Elaine's class back in Soul to Soul. Dia macam this routine and then dia akan sambung this routine the next time. And then the next time also dia akan buat routine yang sama. But if I do that, I would be bored out of my mind. I just couldn't take it, you know. So, oh my god, this shit again. Oh, lepas tu nak kena ajar. And then I stopped teaching for a while. After the BOTC competition, I kind of want to quit dance at that time. And then slowly pick it back up. And then when people, that was the time when people macam, hey, I cannot make it for my class. Can you replace? And then, hey, I cannot make it for my class. Can you please? Sharul, this slot is very free for class. So, lepas tu, ngam-ngam pula buat MYDS workshop time tu. You know, I would be the last person. I would always be the person they call to replace. Lepas tu, Bujie pun macam, at that time, kalau tak ada dancer, then I was the go-to guy. That's how the term, I would always, apa?
Replacing class. Shout out to Abang Bujie. We also have a podcast episode with Abang Bujie. It's on season one. I can't remember which number the episode is, but yeah, you guys can go and check it out as well. I just want to call attention to the quitting dance part. I mean, I also feel like every year I want to quit dance, but it's never happened. Can you like elaborate a bit, you know, like why you wanted to quit dance and why you didn't quit after all those years?
Back then, although macam I know that my dad was against me dancing, but I know it's for a good reason where he's scared that macam, oh, I cannot take care of myself. How am I going to survive? But then when bila dah, duit dah masuk monthly tu, baru dia macam, you know, okay. Tapi dia, he never said it out. He never said it out. So after my dad passed, rasa macam everything... there's always that feeling where macam, you know what, I think I'm just gonna lead like a normal life. Mm-hmm. Don't want to dance anymore. Yeah, I just want to chill and quit. And then again, fikir balik macam, this is the only thing that I know what to do. That was the time also I started working with the radio IM4UFM. And then my life is not like surrounded by dance anymore. There was a point where I feel like dance tu boleh jadi fun. It's not like as pressure macam, alamak, if I don't teach class, I don't have money. If I don't do show, how am I going to survive? So macam as I was working with radio time tu, it was the first time in my life aku ada salary. Lepas tu macam I can dance like without the pressure of like wanna be the best, you know. But just have fun, try to be me. Aku slow down in my dance. And then in the end sama je sampai sekarang nari. But it's not as pressure as it was back then. Because back then I danced like really to survive. But now macam dance, show people dance, you want to have fun, don't have to pressure in class. Then my student also like tak ada dancer, like semua macam working people who just want to have fun. I learn also from my students.
Do you think that the dance to survive mindset produces better dancers than, you know, like, I mean, people like me, you know, I also don't depend on dance to make a living. Mm-hmm. You know, I just do it to have fun. And yeah, I'm really invested in it, but ultimately I just do it to have fun. So do you think that dance to survive mindset is needed to produce really valuable and really strong dancers?
In a way, yes. But in a way, so they will build competitive dancers. Like really competitive dances. Macam if I don't perform well, then orang takkan nampak, orang takkan panggil buat show. If you don't do well, so macam we always wanna strive to be the best. I think that was the mentality of me dancing back in the day. It was really competitive. Kita orang bawa ECX studio at that time.
Yeah.
So macam if you are not like at par or better atau very near ECX, then how are we going to survive? You know what I mean? Because orang akan panggil ECX sahaja buat show, and then kita orang macam mana? So we try to be different, try to be better. Tapi dia jadi at the same time, you kind of lost the meaning of dancing. You dance, you just want to have fun. You just want to be carefree. You just want to macam, I can do this move, can do this, oh shit, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Like, having that competitive mindset kan, it's kind of necessary to get booked and to get shows.
I mean,
like if
you
just dance for fun, it's hard to get, you know, jobs.
It's good in that sense, but at the same time, you will kind of lose your way to the beginning of why you dance in the first place. It's necessary.
Yeah.
Tapi macam jujur cakap kan, if that thing goes for a long time, it's tiring. You'll get burnt out like super fast.
Have you seen it happen in a lot of people?
It's happened to myself. Burn out a lot. No, not so.
Not so, okay.
Not competing anymore.
Yeah.
Not battling anymore. Tak payah nak pressure macam, alamak, macam mana if I do this move okay ke? If I do that move okay ke? If I dance like this, people will judge me, you know? Because I have that. I think that's the bad thing about me. When I dance, I can fikir macam, alamak, nari apa tu, apa ni tak best ni, you know, I have that mentality which is super bad. But yeah, I mean, you have to have that mentality to grow, but don't live by it.
Mentality to grow but don't live by it. This is another important one, guys.
This is a real gold nugget.
I mean, this is just me. I mean, other people, they deal with it differently.
It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, pleasure pula aku nanti. Macam,
how did you deal with like the burnout? Like, what was the main thing that you changed to allow you to to deal with it?
Back then, macam like I said kan, because I dance to survive kan. If I burn out, then I am not allowed to be burn out. I have to push through it. Tapi dia jadi macam makin lama, it's like when you don't vibe with the song that you want to choreo, and then you still want to push it through, it kind of turns out like shit. Now, if I were to give advice to the me back then, I would say just, you know, chill, take a step back. Inspiration is around you. It's not just through dance videos. It's not just through songs. I mean, if you want to be burned out, I mean sometimes macam best juga tengok dance video macam oh gila babi dia choreo macam ni, weh bestnya dia choreo macam ni, bestnya. Tapi if you want to do that, then you have to be in the mindset of that person. Because macam if I meet with other people, if I meet with my Singaporean dancers, like macam friends and, or if I meet with new people, I wouldn't ask like how they choreo, I wouldn't ask how they dance, I wouldn't ask how they train. I would ask them what's your like daily routine like. So you know what is like macam okay kalau dia bangun pagi pukul 5 pergi exercise, then I couldn't relate sebab aku bangun pukul 10 pagi. And then you kind of need to find that relatability, do you call it? Like the thing that you have in common, so you can relate to that, then you can get in their mindset in a little bit. That's how you broaden your mindset. It was fun back when 2014 we went for the first ever summer jam in Singapore. Jumpa banyak gila dancer time tu. Itu memang macam starstruck gila babi. Jumpa Keone Mary for the first time. Actually no, not the first time lah, but I mean jumpa dia orang depan-depan, jumpa Lai Beniga, buat made friends with Lawrence Kawai. And then Keone Mary jumpa Farhi, dia macam hey you look like my cousin.
Oh my gosh.
It was super weird because we were queuing, everyone was queuing take picture kan. Lepas tu Mary tengok Farhi, dia macam hey Keone, it looks like your cousin. Lepas tu aku macam why? Siapa macam happy gila jumpa Farhi kan. Hey cousin. I was like, oh, it was a fun experience. Especially during the Han Chai party, and then everybody just have fun, man. So I would ask like a lot of people. I think they would think it's weird for me to ask them like, hey, what's your daily life like? Macam pelik kan kalau jumpa orang tak kenal kan.
But it's true though guys, like if you guys can go to Summer Jam again, like you really make tons of new friends there for some reason.
Semua ons gila time tu. I think Inversion that time was me, Stephanie, Kevin and Farhi. We went without miss every single day. We would be 30 minutes late.
Why?
I don't know. No, because kita orang tumpang rumah kawan. And then rumah dia ada satu je toilet. So for us like get ready. And then that time I drove in Singapore, so tak tahu jalan sangat. And then I don't have like macam apa, the internet macam time tu not working kan. Because Malaysia punya line. Sebab aku tak ada kredit dalam tu. Yes, kredit. Aku tak top up phone. So macam nak cari jalan dia macam susah gila. So every single day without fail kita akan lambat. But we learn the whole routine.
But the class is only 1.5 hours.
Exactly. But we learn the whole routine. Yeah.
Like bro, without fail. I cannot relate to this kind of talent and skill. Sometimes I can't remember 1.5 hours there, so I still struggle.
Time tu macam I don't know, it was, we have that mentality because kita orang pergi sama jam, we really want to learn, like die also want, must learn. So mentality tu memang kena ada. So kalau dia start lambat ke start awal ke, mesti macam okay, we die we must kill this routine.
Somewhere so expensive, right?
Somewhere so expensive, yeah. That time it was 1,004 SGD. And then the second year it was 2004, and then the third year was 3004. Then I told the organizer, everything was Nicholas time too, and it's like, bro, why the fuck is going up? But yeah, you know Malaysian currency is kind of that time it was only times two.
Oh, now it's times three.
Now it's times three. But first year was hectic, bro. Macam like you party dengan Thai Ice. Dengan Thai Ice like this baju stripper tu yang belang-belang apa? Jaring-jaring tu kan. It was like that. Dengan muka dia macam ustaz kan. So dia macam kakar sebenarnya tengok. It was fun lah. It was fun. Macam tengok Thai Ice tapi dia tak clumping. Macam pelik kan. Macam
I can't imagine, bro. So yeah, your classes, you know, I mean, I know your class. I come to a few of your classes. They're super fresh, energetic, handsome nak mampus, you know. So what are your objectives every time you show up to teach class?
To make the class as fun and relatable as possible.
Fun and relatable in what way? In physical, like, way or
like in a human kind of way, I think. Because macam biasa kalau kita ajar macam okay, you put your put right hand here and then you can push it here. Bila nak ajar tu, you kind of want to make it fun. And like imagine like there's a bird here and then you kind of want to siku bird tu, because you don't like birds, and then you siku, and then you macam ah go away, ah you know, make it like relatable. Like Farouk, kalau Farouk ajar kelas, aku tak tahu dia ajar benda ni. I took his class a few times. Benda ni aku akan ingat sampai mampus aku rasa. His choreography is a lot of like dime stop, is a lot of like satu-satu. So dia cakap satu-satu. Lepas tu dia cakap okay, bayangkan kau ambil nasi putih, kau letak kuah tu, kau tak campur semua, kau letak satu, satu, satu. So I sing. So dia explain macam tu, but I, macam meripik kan. But you understand. You understand.
Makes sense.
You understand. Ah, it makes sense. Macam okay, maksudnya jangan campurkan semua. Maksudnya kalau letak satu ayam goreng kat sini, kuah kat sini, lepas tu sayur kat situ, so orang nampak dia satu-satu.
Okay. Only Farouk will say this kind of things, man.
Oh yeah, man. My gosh. That's genius though.
It's weird
though.
It's relatable, but you understand. Tapi merepek gila lah. Orang dengar pun gelak, and then diorang pun macam ah, okay lah, boleh, boleh buat. You know what I mean? So that will be my main focus every time I go and teach class. Ever since I started at 222 Dance Studio, because previously, before 2015, a lot of my students are dancers or aspiring dancers. So they want to pursue dance as a career. So tu macam, that's why you can like go teach all out. And then, but then again, if macam waktu first saja tu 22, I realized that not everyone wants to pursue that. They just want to have fun. You know, macam orang habis kerja, datang, you know, menari, have fun. Tapi diorang tak faham terminologi dance sangat. So I have to like make it fun for them, but at the same time knowledgeable. At the same time also macam, it may macam sound merepek, macam Farouk punya kelas kan, dia ajar tu kan, macam it may sound merepek, but it makes sense. The essence tu ada.
I understand.
Yeah.
Power.
Masih campur. Korang ingat tu.
Alright, can you tell us about a memorable time when teaching class? Any memorable time? I don't know, you fuck up ke, or I don't know, someone puked in class ke, you know, that has, I've seen that happen in class. So a lot of weird things happen in class. So like, can you tell us about like something weird that happened in your class that you can't forget for the rest of your life?
There was this time in Sotusol, I had to replace a kid's class. Like super kids, it was below 10. Dengan Ono kan, kids bro. Kids bro, like not like they just want to have fun.
Yeah.
Lepas tu I remember I entered the class and it wasn't the usual teacher. Betul, budak tu dah start nangis.
Oh no.
I was like, hey, what's wrong? Lepas tu dia nangis, dia pergi kat mak dia ke, dia punya bibi ke, tak ingat lah time tu. Tapi dia lari keluar. Lepas tu aku rasa I felt so bad. So aku cakap, I'm sorry, I'm not your teacher lah. But then again, diorang pun macam tak faham kan. So macam nak ngajar pun macam, it's not the usual. Macam I go to class, I teach a routine. Macam buat warm up, and then teach a routine. And then you know, macam kalau sempat rekod. Tapi ni tak, this is macam diorang just want, they just wanna macam buat aktiviti budak-budak that I don't know. So I was put in that position. Dengan ada budak nangis, dengan ada ni berlari-lari, dengan ni macam kat seorang one corner dia macam, dia macam tu. So aku macam, What do I do? Time tu aku pun rasa macam nak nangis. Betul, aku tak tipu. Aku rasa macam nak nangis dalam kelas aku macam.
You want to join them?
but kalau nak explain like in a good class experience, I think it was EDW, Experience Dance Workshop 2016. I think that was the first time in my life. It was the first class yang ada banyak like student in a huge scale. Tak payah risau pasal macam yang belakang tu buat salah ke, cause I know, cause they paid to learn, they going, confirm they going to get it one. Itu pun rasa macam nak nangis juga, tapi in a good way lah. Macam terharu. Bukan nangis macam tak tahu nak buat apa. Kelas tu aku tak boleh lupa siapa budak tu nangis.
Aduh. My experience with teaching kids class is exactly the same as yours. And since then I always reject. Oh, okay, yeah, I place the kids class. Oh, reject 100%.
100%.
Oh my god.
Until today bro, I don't want.
There's this tip about like teaching kids classes that we learn from Maybelline during one of our Maybelline episodes. She said she learned this from Luke, because Luke Ong, he teaches a lot of kids classes.
Oh, Luke.
That like whenever the kids are like being rowdy a bit or whatever, then he would play a game of Simon Says or something like that, and then like, oh, I am a stone, or I am a, I don't know, a log, or I am a thingy like that, and then yeah, and then they kind of like just be able to follow, because like you say, like, and kids, they just want to have fun and see someone who's their teacher, and then suddenly someone else comes in, and I don't know, I mean, we look super old to them, right? We look threatening as hell to them, I guess.
Yeah. That was the first and last, never again.
Shout out to all you dance instructors who teach kids, man. You guys are the real MVPs, guys.
Yeah, dude.
How do you handle a mixed ability class?
For me, what worked so far is they join the class with the dengan niat nak belajar kan, or to have fun, nak belajar slash have fun. As a teacher, I try not to be threatening for as starters. And then also macam before class starts pun, I would explain to them macam if you're comfortable, you can ask me. If not, you can ask the other students. Because my regulars ni selalu ada kat sana kan. So you can just ask them. At the same time, korang boleh buat kawan. Because macam if you join class, macam waktu zaman kita sekolah dulu, kita dekat dalam kelas, tapi ada soalan, tapi kau takut soalan tu soalan bodoh, kau tak berani nak tanya cikgu. So korang tanya kawan. So in that sense lah, in that sense where kau macam boleh tanya kawan. And then after finish routine, I would just like go away for like 5-10 minutes. So they have that like mingling session within themselves. So diorang tak rasa pressure. Kalau tak aku kat depan tu aku macam ni je kan, tengok je diorang. Nanti diorang pun macam nak belajar pun macam teacher tengok pressure. So macam I give them room to breathe. Tapi kalau diorang comfortable, They can ask me. Yang tak boleh ikut tu, from what I learn, if I do this method, yang tak boleh ikut tu, somehow diorang akan boleh ikut. Because the majority of the class Dah can follow. And then I think subconsciously diorang pun macam pun boleh follow. Even though it's not perfect, to me it's not a problem. Because you're in class, you're not in shows, you're not competing, you're there to learn kan. So macam just think back apa yang korang buat silap, just work on it, then you move forward lah.
So this works most of the time if the students have all known each other, or does it also work with like new students, you know, like new environment?
Yeah, like I said, macam create that environment where it's comfortable for them to talk to each other. So kalau macam new student pun akan macam alamak, this part how eh? Because sometimes kita orang, we don't know them, their background apa semua kan. So macam maybe diorang rasa segan nak tanya cikgu. So they can ask each other. My students, most of them also are friendly. Sometimes they know each other more than they know me. Aku tak kisah pun. As long as they are there, do the routine, have fun. Doesn't have to be perfect. Aku akan selalu macam tegur diorang macam, not in dancing wise, tapi aku akan cakap, kenapa tak senyum tu? Senyumlah sikit. Nanti diorang macam, sorry teacher, sorry. So macam benda-benda macam tu. It's not about, you know, wanna really push them to be perfect in dancing. Because dancing is a journey kan. This week you learn something new, takkan kau nak terus get it straight away. Keep on practicing, bring it to the next week. Bring it forward.
That's all for this episode. Next time, Shriz will be back to talk about the current landscape of dance in Malaysia. Has it improved since 10, 20 years ago? What are dancers now lacking in compared to dancers back in the day? How can aspiring dancers increase their chances of getting opportunities for dance work? Well, if you'd like to know the answers to those questions, be sure to follow us on our social media at ShoesOffNoCap on Instagram to get updated on our latest episodes. That's at ShoesOffNoCap, ShoesOffNoCap. You can also follow or subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts. This episode was hosted by myself, Diana, and Ellie. Our producer is Sean Chin. Special thanks to Daphne for being a note taker. Once again, a very big thank you to Shriz, Abang Sharul, for appearing on this show. I'm your host, Izaz. Thanks for listening.